Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. I'm very glad to see everyone here this morning. Hope you've all had a good week. I'm going to start this morning by welcoming any first-time visitors. To my left, do we have any first-time visitors? In the middle section, do we have any first-time visitors? Or to my... In the, Terry, welcome, Terry. Well, welcome this morning. And to my right, any first-time visitors? Do we have any announcements this morning? Patrick? Should they contact if they're interested in helping? Okay. Just you. Okay. You had a good turnout too this morning, so that's good. That's good. Do we have any prayer requests? Patrick, before prayers. Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Miss Sherry. Any other prayer concerns, Ms. Russell? Okay. If you'll please also write these prayer requests and concerns on a note card and put them in our offering plate so we can be sure to get them in the bulletin. I didn't forget you, Mike. I was seeing you over there. You're back, Miss Melanie. Any other prayer or praise? Okay. There are no others?
I'm sorry, there's more announcements. The session will meet tonight.
Okay.
6 o'clock.
Okay, 6 o'clock session meeting. If there are no other prayer requests, we will take a moment to pause for silent prayer to open our minds and our hearts to worship the Lord. Thank you. Amen. If you'll stand and please join me with the call to worship. The heavens are singing, proclaiming God's creation.
Glory to God and praise to God's name. God's law is perfect. God's teachings are sure.
Rejoice, O heart. Be revived, O soul.
Christ's way is clear. The way is right.
May we follow God's path and live in Christ's light.
Turning your hymnals now to hymn 527, Glory to His Name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood.
Thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day and for all the blessings you have given to us. Thank you most of all for Jesus. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much. We ask that the Holy Spirit would come here now and open our hearts and our minds and our mouths and our hearts, our very soul, that we might worship you in truth, in beauty, and in the holiness that you deserve. Thank you, Lord, for each one gathered here today and for each family represented. We thank you for the health and the transportation means that we have to be here in your house. We have been blessed in so many ways. Come now, Lord, and let us worship you. And we will worship you now as Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. If you'll join me for the Apostles' Creed. It's in page on page 716 of your hymnal, and I think Sam's going to put it on the wall for us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Call to confession. God of wisdom and truth, speak to us now. Inspire us with your word. Speak clearly to our hearts that we may walk in your ways and live in your love. If you'll join me in unison for our prayer of confession. Wise, knowing God, you see our hearts so clearly. You speak to our lives so profoundly. And yet we are often unable or unwilling to hear your truth and go where you lead. Help us live in your love and walk in your truth, that we might be your people and you might be our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our words of assurance. Those who listen to God's wisdom live secure and at peace, without dread of disaster. Christ is our wisdom and our way. In Christ, we are forgiven.
Turn now, if you will, please, to hymn 563, and let's count our blessings today. 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done.
prefatory sentence, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering in sacrifice to God. Will our ushers please come forward? children's time. With Miss Mary Jo. We'll wing it. If the children can come up front, Miss Mary Jo is going to help us out this morning. And there's no children's church. So children, if you'll go back to your parents.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson today. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you'll help me welcome Mr. Taylor this morning.
There was three ministers traveling together across the United States, and there was a Jewish rabbi, and there was a Hindu priest, and a television evangelist, and they were speaking at different cities as they traveled, informing people about different religious faiths, and they were out west, and it was late at night. A terrible storm was in progress, and so they pulled up to a farm and knocked on the farmer's door and said, "Can you put us up for the night?" And he said, "Well, I've got room for two of you in the house, but one of you is going to have to sleep in the barn." And the Jewish rabbi said, "No problem. I'll stay in the barn. You two stay in the house." And about 10 minutes later, there was a knock at the door. It was the Jewish rabbi. He said, "Folks, in our religion, we can't be around swine, and that barn's full of pigs." And the Hindu priest said, "Hey, that's no problem. I'll stay in the barn. You two stay in the house." And about 10 minutes later, there was a knock at the door. It was the Hindu priest. He said, "In our faith, you know, we consider cows sacred, and that barn's full of them, and I just can't be that close." The television evangelist said, "Guys, that's no problem. I'll stay in the barn. You two stay in the house." And about 10 minutes later, there was a knock at the door. It was the pig and the cow. When asked if my cup is half full or half empty, my only response is that I'm thankful I have a cup. Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. And always remember, what you now have was once among the things you only hoped for. If a fella isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get. Today, I can either complain because the weather is rainy, or I can be thankful that the grass is getting watered for free. Feeling is poverty. Be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one of these seconds to say thank you? In Psalm chapter 9 and verse 1, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds." The psalmist David said in Psalm 92, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Rejoice in the Lord and give thanks to his holy name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him and sing praises to him. Tell of all of his wondrous works." Over and over again in Scripture, we are encouraged to stop and count our blessings and to give thanks to God, for his mercies are new every single morning, and great is his faithfulness to us. Helen Keller said that so much has been given to me, I have no time to ponder over that which has been denied. She went on to say, it would be a blessing if every human being were struck blind and deaf for a few days at some time during their adult life. Darkness would make them more appreciative of sight, and silence would teach them the joys of sound. We sang just a few moments ago a beautiful hymn. Count your blessings, name them one by one. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings and name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings that money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. My friends, your attitude is a sign of your gratitude. How thankful are you? How often do you express your gratitude? How often do you and I number our blessings? They're like the sands of the seashore. Can you imagine living in a world without the benevolence of God? You think with me just for a moment. Every single day you and I are beneficiaries of His goodness. We are recipients of God's mercies and kindness. Every day without exception. Can you imagine living in a world without being exposed to God's favor, to His kindness, to His benevolence, His influence? It would be hell. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough, but I've got loved ones all around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for His blessings and the mercies He's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I remember times when things went wrong. My faith wore somewhat thin, but all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads I have hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I want you to turn with me in your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 17. And I want you to read along with me Luke 17. I'll begin reading in verse 11. It's a very familiar story. You've heard it over and over again. Jesus encounters these 10 lepers. And in verse 11, on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now let me pause just a moment. Why did they stand at a distance and call out in a loud voice? Well, let me take you back in time just a moment. You see, it was a command in the law of Moses in Leviticus. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And Moses said, as long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. And so they stood at a distance as they approached Jesus, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And in verse 14, when Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed. Now, I've got to stop there in the text because, my friends, that is the question of the hour this morning. Have you seen that you are healed? You may be thinking, what do you mean? I don't have leprosy. No, but you have a spiritual disease far more deadly than leprosy. Paul said, all have sinned, and you and I are not an exception. In Romans 6, Paul said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. My question to you this morning is, have you seen that you are healed? If I have, then what is the appropriate response? In verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. Now, my friends, if you and I understand that the wages of sin is death, and if you, like this leper, have seen that you're healed, then the only appropriate response is to throw yourself at Jesus' feet and to thank him. Does that describe your mentality? Do you and I fall on our feet every day and give thanks to the Lord for his precious blood that has washed away our sins? Well, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And this verse says in verse 16 that he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. My friends, I have a question for you this morning to ponder. A very personal question. If you had been one of the 10 lepers in this story, would you have come back and thrown yourself at Jesus' feet and thanked him? Or would you have been among the 9? An old man walks down a Florida beach. The sun sets like an orange ball on the horizon. The waves slap the sand. The smell of salt water stings the air. The beach is vacant. No sun to entice the sunbathers. Not enough light for the fishermen. So aside from just a few joggers and strollers, the gentleman is alone. He carries a bucket in his bony hand. It's a bucket of shrimp. And it's not for him. And it's not for the fish. It's for the seagulls. He walks to an isolated pier, which is cast in gold by the setting sun, and he steps out to the end of the pier. The time has come for the weekly ritual. He did this 52 times a year until he died. The time has come for the weekly ritual. He stands and waits, and soon the sky becomes a mass of dancing dots. The evening silence gives way to the screeching of birds. They literally fill the sky. And then they cover the moorings. They're on a pilgrimage to meet this old man. And for half an hour or so, the bushy-browed, shoulder-bent gentleman will stand on the pier, surrounded by the birds of the sea, until his bucket is empty. But even after the food is gone, his feathered friends still linger. They linger as if they are attracted to more than just the food. They perch on his hat, they walk on the pier, and they all share a moment together. The old man on the pier could not go a week without saying thank you. His name was Eddie Rickenbacker. And if you were alive in October of 1942, you probably remember the day that he was reported missing at sea. Rickenbacker had been sent on a mission to deliver a message to General Douglas MacArthur. With a hand-picked crew and a B-17 known as the Flying Fortress, he set out across the South Pacific. Somewhere the crew became lost, the fuel ran out, and the plane went down. All 8 crew members escaped into the life rafts. They battled the weather, they battled the water, the sharks, the sun, but most of all, they battled the hunger. And after 8 days, the rations were gone, and they ran out of options. It would take a miracle for them to survive, and a miracle occurred. After an afternoon devotional service, the men said a prayer and tried to rest. And as Rickenbacker was dozing with his hat over his eyes, something landed on his head. Now, he would later say that he knew it was a seagull. He didn't know how he knew, he just knew. That gull meant food if he could catch it, and he did. The flesh was eaten, the intestines were used as fish bait, and the crew survived. Now, question. What was a seagull doing hundreds of miles away from land? Well, only God knows. But whatever the reason, Rickenbacker was thankful. And as a result, every Friday evening, the old pilot walks to the pier, his bucket full of shrimp, and his heart full of gratitude. Oh, my friends, you and I would be wise to do the same. You and I have so much in common with Eddie Rickenbacker. We too were saved by a sacrificial visitor. We too were rescued by one who journeyed far from only God knows where. And we, like the old pilot, have every reason to look into the sky and to worship. I close this morning, before we sing this invitation hymn, by sharing with you a true story about a little boy who was diagnosed with cancer. And I have to stop and read stories like this every so often to put my life in perspective, because I take for granted my health. I'm 57 years old, and as far as I know, I'm healthy as I can be, but that's not the case with all of us. And it's so easy to take for granted that which is so invaluable. The little boy was 6 years old, and he was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor. And his parents made the decision to keep him active as long as possible, so they continued to send him to school every morning. And they made his teacher aware of his diminishing mental capabilities. And one day, the teacher brought to class these big eggs, sort of like stocking come in. And he gave, or she gave every student in the class one of the eggs and said, "Your assignment this afternoon is to go home and put something inside the egg that reminds you of Easter. You know, something that symbolizes life." And so, the next day, she comes to class with this big picnic basket. And she goes to each desk collecting all the eggs and comes to the front of the room and begins an exercise of opening the eggs and making comments about the contents of each egg. And the first egg she opened, there was a broken robin's egg inside. And she talked about how that symbolized life. The next egg she opened, there was this little buttercup that had just begun to bloom in the spring of that year. And she talked about that. And the next egg she opened, there was nothing inside the egg. And she thought to herself, "This must be little Johnny's egg. His condition has gotten so bad, he He didn't even understand the assignment. So she quietly closed the egg, pushed it aside, continued through the exercise. And at the close, Johnny's hand shot up. And he said, "Teacher, you didn't open my egg." And she said, "Oh, but I did, Johnny, and there was nothing inside. I asked you to put something in the egg that reminds you of Easter. You know, something that symbolizes life." And Johnny said, "But teacher, wasn't the tomb empty?" Oh, my friends, if there's anything that symbolizes life, it is an empty grave. Jesus has been victorious over death. He has been victorious over the grave. The throne in heaven this morning is occupied. You and I serve a living Savior. And so it's appropriate for us to fall to our knees and give thanks to God. Because I cannot imagine living in a world without the benevolence of a Creator like Jehovah God. Your attitude is an indicator of your gratitude. Would you bow with me? Oh, Father in heaven, we have so much to be grateful for. We could pause the rest of this day and just number and list and itemize the blessings and mercies you have bestowed upon us. You make this world so comfortable to live in. You have given us, Father, what we need, and your faithfulness endures forever and ever. And so, dear Lord, we pause this morning to thank you, but most of all, Father, we're grateful for your precious Son, Jesus, who came to this earth in the form of human flesh, who chose to suffer on that cruel cross. He could have summoned several legions of angels to rescue him, Father, but he chose to die so that we might live. And I pray, as our children were encouraged this morning, that we would find the door of our heart, and that we would open that door and welcome Jesus to come and make his residence in the castles of our hearts. So this morning, Father, we pause to give you thanks, and we praise your holy name. We pray in the name of your precious Son Jesus. Amen. Would you join with me? Let's stand to sing this beautiful hymn.